This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
You know what it is.
That's right.
It's hump day. What, what?
Let's go.
It's the best show of the week. It's the gambling edition of the Diehards. My voice is a little spent right now. Anthony Pepe, CT Betts, Chris Thurston. All right, dude, you got to snap me out of the funk.
What's going on? Voice is lost.
My voice is lost.
I come in the studio. You're all upset.
I'm pissed off.
You're mad.
All right. So again,
You're like me.
We talk about my girls playing softball. They had a game tonight. They lost 4-3, and I'm not bitter about the loss.
Sure. Okay.
My youngest pitched two innings. A pitch out of her mind. Struck out five.
Ooh.
My oldest had two RBI. Had a single, two RBI. They played great. I love my girls. And again, when they don't play great, I still love them.
Sure.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah,
they run laps in the backyard when they suck. But
yes,
no.
Friends.
Again, they're 11-9. I get it. They're young. Jeff Fry would kill me for this segment, by the way. So they have young umpires coaching.
I get it.
You want to teach young kids
get the
how
kids
to umpire.
Involved.
I fully get. Trust me, I get it. But my youngest struck out in a key situation where the two pitchers that she struck out on were 5 feet in the dirt in front of the plate.
Yeah, that's not all right.
Now, it's not even the worst thing in the world that the young kid behind the plate is a year or 2 years older than my oldest calling the game. I get give them all. You know what? Teach them. I get it. But there's their parents are behind the plate calling the freaking game.
Yeah, that's not right. How do they have parents behind the plate doing that? That's...
I lost my mind.
So too.
I'm sitting with my buddy who I graduated with in Canton High School in Massachusetts. He's a Canton police officer. God bless him. And he's sitting there. He goes, Pep, I can't believe that was a strike. I can't believe that was a strike. We're watching. We're in the third base. The ball was 5 feet in front of the dirt, and he called it a strike. So we're losing our mind. But I didn't say anything. I wasn't that guy.
Right.
It was nice. But actually, the coach came over to me and said he just screamed at the people with the umpire.
Oh,
and the other coach yelled. So I'm all fired up.
Yeah, so you're going nuts.
God
forbid if I ever have kids, I'd be the same way.
Speaking of firing up, though, we have a great show
fire.
Lined up.
The show is fire.
Man, we have all sorts of handicappers on the program tonight.
Talking
but we're going to talk some NFL draft coming up next at FanSided. Matt Verderam is going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line next, talking NFL draft. Keep it right here.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Yes, indeed. O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, East in Boston, Massachusetts. We're hanging out. It's the gambling edition. We're doing the NFL edition as well. Draft tomorrow night. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Joining the Diehards, Anthony Pepe, CT Betts, Chris Thurston, covers the NFL at FanSided. Matt Verderam is joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, Matt, the big question in the draft tomorrow night, are the Cincinnati Bengals going to draft that Oregon Ducks tackle?
I think they should, but I don't think they're going to. I also don't know if I would have led with that, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the pick. Look, they could go Sewell. And I don't think it'd be the worst idea, but they have Jonah Williams coming back. They've got Riley Reiff at right tackle. I think they're going to look at it and say, we can add another weapon with Boyd and with Higgins and with Mixon in the backfield. And if Jonah Williams plays well, then we've solved our problem at tackle anyway.
Matt, I guess a bigger question in all seriousness is we all know what Jacksonville's going to do. We kind of think we know what the Jets are going to do. San Fran's going to pick a quarterback. We kind of know like one or two of the quarterbacks there. What are the Falcons going to do, though? Are they going to draft a quarterback? They do have Matt Ryan, but they we know they're not thrilled and happy with him. We're not sure what the deal is in the future with Matt Ryan and obviously Julio Jones on the block. What the hell are the Falcons doing?
I think they're taking pitch. You know,
all right.
I think ultimately the thought process is going to be we can free up some cap space by moving on from Jones post June 1. Whether you agree or not, I think that's probably something that they're going to explore seriously. But beyond that, they restructured Ryan's contract. So he's really got pretty significant money for the next couple of years.
All right.
I don't know that you do that and then you double down and take a quarterback. So I mean, ultimately, look, there's only been one tight end ever to go as high as number four overall, Riley Odom, to 1972 to Denver.
Wow.
I think that's probably happening again. I think that's probably where we're going again.
Matt, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the Niners and, you know, Kyle Shanahan's comments the other day. And
that press conference is off the charts, by the way.
All the talk, you know, because obviously everybody knows Lawrence and Wilson going 1 and 2. But all the talk about the Niners and their pick. A couple weeks ago, it was pretty much guaranteed that Mac was going to the Niners. And then the stuff came out about Mac, and then they were going to lay off of him. And who really knows? But wanted to get your take on it. Does Kyle Shanahan know who he's going with, and do you think it's going to be Mac Jones?
I think they have to know who they're going with. And they had to know the second they made that trade. If they don't,
yeah.
I mean, it really is. The idea that the 49ers made that trade, gave up two firsts and a future thirds as a top 100 pick, and just said, whoever's there is fine. There's no way that that happened. Now, who's it going to be? That is the golden question. If I had to bet my mortgage, I would say it's Mac Jones. But only because of people I've sampled in the league, that's like barely the consensus. But could it be Lance? Could it be Fields? Yeah, I think all that we know is it's going to be a quarterback. And my bigger conviction is they are going to move Garoppolo. I know they sat there and said they won't. Yep. I think Garoppolo is going to be moved fairly soon here.
So, obviously, we're based here in New England, and, you know, Pep and I are both pretty diehard New England Patriots fans.
So, selfishly, we want to know what the hell the Patriots are doing.
Obviously, there's a bunch of talk. It's back and forth. You know, they're going to trade up. You know, they're going to get Fields somehow. Who really knows besides Bill and McDaniels?
But they're going to draft an offensive guard out of Fresno State. Watch.
Personally, I'd love to have Jimmy G back here. Is it possible, Matt?
It's very possible. I've said for the last, I don't know, 2 months that I think it's not only possible. I think that's probably what ends up happening. Now, for a few reasons. One is, everybody knows this is common knowledge, that Belichick loved Garoppolo when he was in New England. He knows the system. He knows the scheme. So that's one. Number two, what is it going to cost you? Like, ultimately, if this gets to draft day, which it's obviously in a few hours, it's going to be. If you're Belichick and you call the Niners and say, look, we'll give you a second and a day three pick, whatever, a fourth, a fifth.
Yep.
If you're the Niners, you're probably going to do it. I mean, at some point, it becomes a law of diminishing returns. If you keep Garoppolo and he's terrible next year, or he just doesn't play, or he's hurt, or whatever the case may be, like, you're not getting a first-round pick for him after that. You're not even getting a second. So I think if you're the Niners, you're motivated to move him. And if you're Belichick, you're 70. Like, you're better off getting him and going into the playoffs right away and being competitive than you are drafting a quarterback, hoping he develops. I think it's more likely than not to have Garoppolo rather than a rookie.
Hey, Matt, another question. Again, what the Denver Broncos are going to do at number 9. Obviously, they have Drew Lock, and are they happy with him? But then you see the deal. They pull in Teddy Bridgewater. Does that mean that maybe they're going to draft a quarterback if one slips that they like, and Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the guy between the new guy and the gap, if you will, and Drew Lock is on his way out? What does that mean?
I think it's possible. I think it's more likely at this juncture now that Denver maybe goes out and look, don't forget who their head coach is. Vic Fangio's a defensive guy. Like, what if they can move back a little bit, pick up an extra pick, and maybe get Micah Parsons, right? Run that defense, because that is the one level they're weak at on defense. What if they say, look, we like Rashawn Slater. We're going to plug him in. We've got him and Garrett Bowles now. We'll get rid of Juwan James. We're good to go. I think Bridgewater is literally the name. He's a bridge to the future. Look, they still have the worst quarterback situation in that division. So it's not as though they've raised their ceiling. They have raised their floor. We'll see how it shakes. But if there's somebody there, like if Fields gets to 9 and they like Fields, they'd be insane not to take Fields just because they have Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
Matt, this is the gambling edition of the Sports Map Radio, the Diehards this week. So wanted to talk a little bit about the Alabama wide receivers. So Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith,
pretty good.
Right? They're both explosive. So a couple weeks ago, Waddle was a slight favorite to go ahead of Devontae Smith. All of a sudden today, I pull up the, you know, a couple sites. Waddle is now minus 340 to go before Devontae Smith. Where do you got both of them going in the first round here?
I think Waddle will absolutely go ahead of Smith. You know, could he go to Detroit? I mean, there's talk now. Detroit was trying to trade up, which I think is insane. If there's a team in this league to be trading back eight times over, it's the Lions. But you know, if they like Chase and they can't get him, I think Waddle's their guy, right? And then, look, the problem with Smith is everybody knows. I know that the draft picks out there say it shouldn't matter that he weighs $166. Well,
sure.
It matters.
It matters.
I mean,
yeah.
It matters. This is the NFL, and these are jobs on the line. And if you take a guy who weighs 166 pounds and it doesn't work, you're going to be hearing about it from your owner. So I do think the Giants really love him. That's kind of the talk. If he gets to the Giants, I think it's at least got to be a conversation there. I don't think he falls out of the top 15. I still think Devonta Smith will be a high draft pick. But I don't think he's going to go ahead of Chase or Waddle.
And at number six, the Miami Dolphins do what, Matt?
I think they take Sewell. If he's there, I think they're taking Sewell. Now, if he's not there, then I think they might go Waddle.
Okay.
You know, look, they traded Ereck Flowers, which I think is kind of a sign of what they're going to do. Maybe kick Hunt inside, play attack, you know, draft a tackle on Sewell. They've got to give Tua every possible avenue to succeed. He was, by all measures, not good last year. So they're going to have to figure out a way to improve him. Now, is that adding a receiver? Maybe. Is it getting him better protection? Maybe. I think they have to go one of those two avenues. I think if Penei Sewell's there, he's the pick for them at six.
Matt, Trey Lance hasn't played in a little over a year. Wanted to get your take on, you know, coming out of North Dakota State, is he going to be ready to go? I mean, I've seen a lot of mock drafts, you know, somewhere has the Eagles having him. Where do you have him going, and is he going to be NFL ready?
It's a hard thing to answer because you're right. I mean, he's barely played for 2 years.
Right.
And when he was at North Dakota State, look, the talent's there. He did have some accuracy issues, but he's got a great arm. He's really athletic, which in today's NFL means more than it ever has for a quarterback. I don't think he falls out of the top 15. In fact, look, if we know anything about the NFL, these guys at quarterback, they get overdrafted. So the odds are some team will trade up if he starts to fall, maybe get into 7 or 8 or somewhere like that. Where he goes, you know, Philadelphia is an option. Could be. I think you'll look at, would Detroit take him? I don't think so. I think with Goff, they'll at least just kind of give him a year and then they'll figure it out. Denver, again, like we talked about, maybe.
Sure.
But I think if you're going to draft Lance, I think you're better off waiting here. And I'll give you two other teams that could trade up from way back if they want to, New Orleans and Pittsburgh. Because both those teams need a long-term answer. Mason Rudolph's not the long-term answer at Pittsburgh. And I don't know what Taysom Hill's not doing at New Orleans. So unless you believe in Jameis, like those are a couple teams along with Washington, of course, Chicago, that really are toward the back half of the draft. You know, first round, you can look at that. Maybe they're options.
I mean, Matt, I thought that was a great point there on Pittsburgh. So I think it's crazy that they even brought Roethlisberger back. They need a trigger man themselves.
Yeah, look, Roethlisberger last year, by the end of the season, it felt like a deep ball for him was about 8 yards.
Right.
I mean, they just could not get the ball down the field.
That's five. That's 5 yards more than Cam Newton, by the way.
Yeah, not pretty, not good. But yeah, you know what? But, you know, if you notice when you watch Pittsburgh, and this was an all-year thing, when they threw a ball down the field, well, on the occasions that they did, it was always outside the numbers. If he has to throw a ball down the field, he's got to put so much air under it that you can't throw the ball down in the middle of the field. So Pittsburgh's offense, teams just realized, second half of the year, like, look, just defend outside the numbers, flood the short zone. They can't throw the ball anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And they couldn't score a point down the stretch. Obviously fell apart and ended up losing the wild card round. Look, I get it. If you're Pittsburgh, you probably see he had no better options this year. And he's just going to ride it out and give him that respect. He's a Hall of Fame player. But if you're the Steelers, I think you got to be looking at this draft. And if you like a guy like Fields or Lance, and they get to 7, they get to 8, I think if you're Pittsburgh, you start looking to make that jump like Kansas City did years ago, and they went from 27 to 10 from Mahomes.
From Mahomes, yeah.
And you start thinking about how much are we going to have to trade, because it might be worth it if we really like the guy.
Hey, Matt, before we let you go, do you see a lot of trades, a lot of trading up, trading down? Do you see a lot of movement with teams, or is it going to be pretty much the same as we've seen in years past?
Yeah, I think it'll be similar. Look, I think what's going to happen is early in the draft, you know, from everyone I've talked to in the league, there seems to be a general consensus that it's about a 75-player draft. And so I think early, you're going to see teams trading back, sure, trying to trade back, trying to get more top 75 picks. And then once we get to, like, the end of the second round, you're going to start seeing teams package picks to trade up, to get up into the end of the second, the early part of the third. I think that's probably where we're going. And I think those will be the times you see the most action.
Hey, man, keep up the good work. We appreciate the time and your busy schedule. We'll talk to you later on down the line. Enjoy the draft.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, there he is. He covers the NFL nationally at FanSided. Matt Verderam joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line with the Diehards. Quick TO. When we return, we'll do the highest-rated segment on the program. It's called the Beantown Rundown. It comes up next. He is CT Betts, Chris Thurston. My name is Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hanging out, my friend, CT Betts, the gambling edition of the Diehard Sports Map Radio Network. What's up, pal? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after the mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm hot-headed. I get all that stuff. I posted on Facebook my frustration with them, the softball game tonight. The problem is I'm on the board of directors. So it probably didn't sit well.
Yeah, again, that's probably...
Again, fully understand, I'm all for supporting young umpires and teaching them the game. But when my problem is, then teach them the game, but if you have the parents of that said umpire or a parent head or figurehead of that umpire calling the balls and strikes, and the balls are bouncing 5 feet in front of the plate, I have an issue with that.
Sure.
And again, how do you... You want to teach this one girl how to umpire, but what about the 24 girls that are on both teams not understanding why that's a strike? Come on, guys. We got to be better than this. That's
all. You got to be better than that. That's all. That shouldn't be happening there.
Anyway, derby pick, your derby pick. What's your ritual? Last night, I also talked about Known Agenda as the favorite, but I'm looking at it now. It looks like Essential Quality is 2-1. Rock Your World is 5-1. Yep. These are the latest odds they have. And then Known Agenda is the third favorite at 6-1. So I'm curious to get your take. I usually love like the 17-1, the 20-1 pick. That's the one I usually look at, or a couple of them.
I got one for you, Pat.
I'm curious to get your take, derby pick, and your derby ritual. Question two here, Beantown Rundown. How excited are you for this draft? Again, you kept pointing to me. We talk, you know, people don't see it, but we communicate like as we're on the air. Like, we want to ask questions to the guests. You want to ask every question. You're fired up for this draft.
I can't wait for the draft.
But I'm curious to get your overall take on the draft and your excitement level. Question three. Thoughts on your Boston Bruins? I know you're a big Boston Bruins guy, CT Betts. Taylor Hall, you know, they bring him in. I know you're a huge fan of him, and they bring him in. Just want to get your thoughts on the Bruins. And Tampa Bay, obviously, they're the team to beat. They're the Stanley Cup champs. So can your Boston Bruins, is the ultimate question here, beat those Tampa Bay Lightning? And question four, man, 14 in a row, the Oklahoma City Thunder lose.
God.
They're 11-point underdogs last night. Hey, you know what? Here's a remedy. Just play the Boston Celtics. You know why? Because Brad Stevens sucks.
That's all you need to do. You need to feel better about yourself, get a win. Come up to Boston.
I'll just go on that one. And then question five. You know, I'm curious to get your take. Is there a sleeper guy in the draft? Is there a guy like that you're looking at? Is there a quarterback like one of these guys? You're hearing about all these big names, CT Betts. Throw me a name out there. Like, you're going to go, hey, you know what? I know Justin Fields isn't a sleeper or Trey Lance is a sleeper, but you think he's going to be the best one in the draft. Give me a name out there that you are going to say, hey, you know what? This is the guy I'm watching. This is the guy I'm going to keep the camera on because he's going to be really quick.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Derby pick, go.
So I'm going with Medina Spirit. Medina Spirit is Bob Baffert's horse.
Bob Baffert wins every year.
15-1. Bob Baffert won last year with a horse, Authentic, okay?
Yep.
Don't know if you remember this. Bob Baffert usually has multiple horses in the race. He had three last year. Authentic wasn't even his top two. He didn't even expect Authentic to win.
So you like Medina Spirit, the number eight horse.
There's some great value
there. 15-1.
15-1. One of the things my father taught me when I was growing up, don't ever bet against Bob Baffert.
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny because he's in it every year. He's won so many races. I had a chance to meet him on Radio Row one time. We did an interview with him.
I heard he's a great guy.
A spectacular guy. Yeah. And again, very intriguing, very like just down to earth.
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy you want to have beers with and you know, party with, whatever. So he's 15-1. The number seven horse is also 15-1. These are the guys I look at. Even the 20-1, Dynamic One, it's called. The number 11 horse is 20-1. He's another guy I look at. And Obezos, the number six horse, is 20-1. But
so Medina Spirit, he's raced five times. He hasn't finished worse than second. The only horse that has beat him in a couple of the races is actually Rock Your World, who's 5-1.
All right.
I wouldn't bet the favorite. No value there. I'd take Medina Spirit and sprinkle a little bit on Rock Your World.
Do you gamble like you gambled on the Baylor Bears?
No. No, this will be. I put $100 on Medina Spirit to win it, and I'll probably bet Rock Your World. I'll probably put them in a little bit of a try, something like that.
How much money did you have on Kim Mulkey from the Lady Baylor Bears leaving?
I did not see that one coming.
No one saw that one coming.
It's it stinks because she's been great for the school, the program, and we don't want to get too much into it, but when Baylor was going through all their scandal, what a great spokesperson Kim Mulkey was for the school.
Yeah,
just
she was
stood
it.
Right by them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going to be sad to see her go. But
she's going home now.
She's from Louisiana, so we wish her the best of luck.
Hey, man, your investment in the draft.
So, yeah, I did make a couple of plays on the draft. Nothing crazy. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, I did bet Mac Jones to go third to the 49ers. So that was looking good when I made the bet. A couple weeks ago, it got a little shaky when the stuff came out about his past. I do think Kyle Shanahan is going to pull the trigger and go with Mac Jones. Another one that I did bet, too, is from our buddy Sammy P. He tweeted it out the other day. He likes Pitts to go under 5.5. Under 4.5, they moved that number. So I did get jump on Kyle Pitts to go under 4.5 and under 5.5.
So you think Atlanta's going to take him?
I do. I think Atlanta's going to take him. I think it's going Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones, and then Kyle Pitts.
So. Thoughts on your bees, and can they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning?
So I think it's a tough question about the Lightning because it stinks this year we haven't got the opportunity to see the Lightning because they're in their separate bubble.
Yep.
We're in our separate bubble. Obviously, we know Tampa's very good. I think it's going to be a disadvantage for us not knowing how we match up against them. Although I love, you know, I'm a big Taylor Hall guy. I love the pickup. It's been great. It's worked out awesome because we were able to put Pasta back with Marchand and Bergeron, get that line back together, and then Hall, Smith, and Krejci have been great. Unbelievable. Hall's producing. He only had two goals, Pep, before he came over to the Bruins. I think he's got two or three right now. And he's helping make plays happen, put the puck in the net. So don't count the bees out.
I'm just happy with the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East and the Boston Celtics are not on TV because they'd be losing right now.
Thank God. Every time we watch them in studio, they get
killed. I know
killed.
It's like a broken record, but they lose to OKC last night. Again, they lost 14 in a row, 11-point underdogs, and they beat the Celtics. The Celtics team absolutely stinks.
They're awful. Awful.
We're just going to move on to question number five.
Yep.
Again, give me that draft guy you're looking at.
Kellen Mond. I think he's a sleeper. Sleeper quarterback out of Texas A&M. I think he's going to be a good pickup in the second, third round, late.
Does he have a strong arm and he's very athletic?
Yes.
I mean, that's what everybody says. You know, this guy's very athletic. He has a strong arm. He has QB smarts. You know, he's a smart football guy.
Rumors, and who knows, I don't want to see this happen, but there's been rumors that Bill likes him. You know I want Jimmy G here, so.
Ugh, I want nothing to do with
I'm
Jimmy
already
G.
prepared myself, Pep. I'm going to be depressed after once the draft night comes.
I want nothing to do with Jimmy G.
I'm excited now.
All right. From the Sports Grid, Ariel Epstein, professional handicapper, will hop on the Progressive Guest Line next with the diehard TCT Bets. I'm Anthony Pepe. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
CT Betts hanging out here at O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East, 20 minutes south of Boston. Apparently the Celtics are winning tonight. But I don't have them on the TV. I just couldn't put it on.
Yeah, don't put it on.
So every time I have them on, they lose. So you know what? I'm just leaving that other TV blank over there. We'll watch the Red Sox right here. But they're up 11 on the Hornets right now, and we're just going to leave that alone.
Well, they're up 20 at the first quarter. So they're doing a good job at what they know best to do.
I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Willie's Super Brew. Willie's Super Brew hard seltzer blended with real fruit. It's gluten-free, low in carbs and calories. It's brewed with thousands of pounds of real fruits and spices, meaning it's bursting with real flavor. It's about drinking real. A drink made from real ingredients by real people with real impact. It was all started by a goat farmer named Willie and a surfer named Nico on a Cape Cod beach. Where is Nico, by the way? We haven't seen him.
He actually just called me. He's coming into town next week.
All right, get him in studio. So, we need to say hello.
Yeah.
We all know the rest is history with Willie's Super Brew. Check them out at superbrew.com. That's superbrew.com or at Drink Super Brew. We'll get right back to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Professional handicapper works for the sports grid, friend of the show, Ariel Epstein's on the line. Ariel, welcome back to the Diehards. Anthony and Chris in Boston, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. It's such a busy week in sports. Couldn't have thought of a better week.
You didn't bet on the Celtics tonight, did you?
Are you kidding me? After the Celtics lose outright?
She knows better than that.
To Oklahoma City plus 525 money line, I don't think that I am betting the Boston Celtics anytime soon.
There you have it. Hey, who are you looking at, Ariel, for the Derby?
Oh, see, I haven't gotten to that yet, guys. I hate to break it to you. Derby talk is not on my radar until this NFL draft is over. I have been nonstop trying to just get through each day's slate of games between the NBA, NHL, and baseball, in addition to the NFL draft and tracking all those crazy movements, because as we all know, the movements mean nothing since every smokescreen has moved the lines on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Sure. It's just a disaster at this point. I can't wait for this draft to be over.
So are you betting where players are going to land? Have you put any bets in for where players are going to draft it?
I have a few bets in. I like my favorite bet of the draft is for Rashad Bateman to go before in a match bet. I like him over Kadarius Toney. I think that he's going to go before him. I think that Bateman is the fourth or fifth best receiver in this draft. Now, the interesting part is that when you look at the draft boards on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they have those exact order bets. I thought that Bateman was going to be that fourth best receiver. However, you look to those first four wide receivers getting drafted, and the name Elijah Moore keeps popping up. I'm very concerned as to what's going on with Moore because he doesn't have a draft position listed for the over-under draft position, yet he's out there as the fourth best receiver when it comes to the first four wide receivers drafted in exact order. That's a little fishy to me. I'm going to keep my eye on Elijah Moore.
Ariel, there's been the last few weeks, there's a lot of steam on Justin Fields going in the top four picks. That has seemed to faded as of recently. Tell us a little bit about where that opened up at FanDuel on Justin Fields and where it is now currently.
This has been the craziest line movement that I have seen in a while. I've been snapshotting these FanDuel Sportsbook lines for the draft since they came out on April 7th. The number three overall pick was Mac Jones at minus 210, then Justin Fields plus 160, Trey Lance 3-1. That was on April 7th.
Right.
I snapshotted the lines again on April, I think it was 17th. April 19th, because that was right after the story with Alabama quarterback Mac Jones, where that picture was released. That's when the line flipped and Justin Fields became the favorite at minus 135 to be the number three overall pick. And Mac Jones goes to plus 130, Trey Lance plus 340. Currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you now have Mac Jones back at the best odds to go third overall at minus 310. Trey Lance goes to plus 370 and Justin Fields is 5-1, which by the way has gone down. It was 6-1 yesterday. This number three overall pick market, I know it's fun for people. People love to bet the most public market out there. I am staying so far away from this pick. that I would just rather find some value elsewhere.
You know, a couple weeks ago, before the whole picture came out on Mac Jones, I actually placed a bet on Mac Jones to go third. I figured, obviously, Shanahan knew what he was doing when he was trading up. I really liked it, and then the whole thing came out. I was terrified. I was like, why did I even bet this? And now it goes back to it. I'm still scared. I want nothing to do with it. But, yeah, there's a little tip for you. Stay away from the draft. It's it's insanity.
Hey, Ariel, what's your hometown, by the way?
I'm from Rockland County in New York.
So are you a Giants or Jets fan?
Funny enough, neither. My dad is from Baltimore, Maryland, so I grew up a Ravens fan. Granted, oh, nice. I'm a Yankees fan because my mom's from the New York area. So I grew up a Yankees fan first. My dad tried to get me into the Orioles, but Brian Roberts was hurt too much for me to really become a fan. Then I ended up loving Jeter, and I became a Yankees fan. And then a few years later, my dad was watching the Ravens game, and that was when the Ravens defense was just so good in the early 2000s. That's when I fell in love with the Ravens and Ray Lewis.
So I really can't ask you, like, what are the Ravens going to do at number 27? Because, like, you can file that in your Who Cares folder.
Well, I would tell you, I think a lot of Maryland cares. Right. There's a few places that I think that the Ravens could go. I think wide receiver is one of those spots. However, they might just go for who's next best available if they could get some more depth in the secondary.
Are you okay with what's going on there, though? Lamar Jackson, again, comes onto the scene. They changed their whole offensive scheme and John Harbaugh to build it around him. They have, obviously, an electric year. And then everyone said, you know, last year the book is out and everyone kind of understands what's happening with him. Are you still on board with team Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh and the Ravens and what they're trying to accomplish?
Lamar Jackson is not the problem. Yes, am I still on board? I am. My problem is what the general manager, Eric DaCosta, has been doing. They can't draft receivers. Ozzie Newsome, yep. Too. Hall of Fame general manager.
Sure.
I love Ozzie Newsome more than I've loved a general manager in any sport, in any team. The problem is wide receivers have been an issue. There have been probably in the last decade, two wide receivers that they've drafted that have worked? Marquise Brown, I'm not sold on. If you're going to ask me who I'm sold on, it's not Marquise Brown. What I think the Ravens needed to do is get a veteran wide receiver the way they did when they brought in Anquan Boldin for the Super Bowl. That was what got the Ravens to the Super Bowl, was a solid receiver who could play in the slot. He gets those tough touchdowns in the middle of the end zone, not someone who runs in post. That was Torrey Smith for the Super Bowl team. Now you have Hollywood, who's playing that Torrey Smith role. They needed another veteran wide receiver to help lead the offense. Unfortunately, if the Ravens go wide receiver, which people want them to, I'm not so keen on them trying to go wide receiver because they haven't done it right in the last decade. Why is it going to get right now?
Ariel, you host a show every morning on Sports Grid Radio with Jared Smith. Go ahead, plug your show. And then Till Bet to Us Part, one of my personal favorite segments on your show. Tell us a little bit about that segment and how you guys came up with it.
The Morning After is on Sports Grid Sirius XM Channel 204. We're on from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. here on the East Coast, Monday through Friday. The Till Bet to Us Part segment is pretty funny. We were going to name the show that. The show was originally called The Morning After. Then we decided we were going to just reface the entire show during COVID because the show was initially three people. Once we got to COVID, we had to kick a third person off because we couldn't do the Zoom, Skype, on the recording service. It was just too complicated to do three people
sure.
working from home. So we ended up going just Jared and I. We thought, wow, so that's us part. Great show name. It was going to actually start where Jared and I were going to place bets throughout the course of the show. And if we disagreed on a bet, then we would do a Till Bet Do Us Part where we dared each other. If someone lost the bet, then you had to do a dare. Of course, COVID hits and that idea goes out the window because I haven't even seen Jared in person since last March. we turned it into a segment. We just said, you know what, it'll be our best bets of the day actually in COVID because there wasn't anything going on last year. It was our kicker story. We watched a lot of different old Till Bet Do Us Parts from the beginning of COVID last year. Since there was nothing going on, it was just a funny story to end the show that we thought would make the audience laugh. Then it turned into, as more sports came on, hey, let's give out one bet at the end of the show, just so people know it's our favorite bet of the day. And it kind of just took off from there.
Ariel, I'm always curious. Twitter's such a fun universe. It's such a fun platform for people. But sports handicappers, it's really not that fun. Watching you guys and you guys that are successful, and you're one of them that are out there, you must get crushed on Twitter from people that when you throw out a pick and you're wrong, people just must crush you. Do you have thick skin? I mean, how did you get to that point? Because to me, I'd be like, you know what? I want nothing to do with this.
You guys are from Boston, right?
Yes.
Us New Yorkers, please, we don't care what people have to say about us. We just dish it right back out. The only thing that ever made me soft in my life was I moved to North Carolina for about 3 years. I remember getting on the – I have a broadcast coach, Jo Montgomery. She's the greatest. I got on the phone with her. She said, where is my hardcore New Yorker? Why are you too nice? Why don't you have that edge? Get that edge back. Of course, when I'm here in New York now for another 2 years since then, I feel that edge is back. What I don't really get too much, you'd be surprised, I really don't get too many people hating on me.
All right.
What I always pride myself on is that when I post a pic, if you watch So Bet Do Us Part, if you watch any of the videos I do where I give out a pick, it's very hard to dispute what I'm saying. I usually give you so many facts and nuggets that if it doesn't hit, a lot of people will say, wow, well, the handicap was spot on. No kidding it was, because when someone hits that bet 9 out of 10 times on a prop and they don't hit it for that 11th time, then you say, okay, well, if you bet that every time, majority of the times you win. That's kind of what I've been basing my career off of, just making sure that I do enough research, I give you enough information that if it doesn't hit, you can't tell me that the information I gave you was wrong.
Ariel, we got a couple minutes left here. Last time we talked to you a month and a half ago or so, you were heading out to Vegas for the Sweet 16 to meet some friends and watch the games. You obviously survived. How was it, and are you going back anytime soon?
It was incredible going to Las Vegas. Guys, I don't know how I haven't been there in my 26 years. It was really the biggest mistake I've ever made is not going to Vegas any sooner. The thing that is great, and I know that we have similar friends out there, if it wasn't for those friends, it would have been a different experience.
Sure.
Those friends gave me the VIP exclusive experience. I got to see everything I wanted to see. It was so much fun to go out there. And the thing that cracked me up, I was with Derek Stevens at Circa. I said, you know, this is really cool because people actually care about what we do out there. In the New York area, sports gambling's just getting legalized mobily here. We're so behind, it's antiquated. When you go to Vegas, people actually care that you work in the business. You actually get to reap the benefits of working in the business. What do I get in New York City? Nothing. I can't even place a bet.
When
you go to Vegas, it's VIP.
That's awesome.
That is good stuff. Hey, Ariel, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We appreciate it. And do you have any futures we should look at? Or is there a hot team out there right now that you're riding or we should look at?
Ooh, that's a great question. You're catching me off guard, and I don't want to give you out something bad. So give me the next time, and I'll come with you on a futures bet that I like.
Fair enough. Hey, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. We love listening to you, watching you, and we'll talk to you later on down the line.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good
night. Thanks, Ariel. Cheers.
All right, there she is, professional handicapper, again, Sports Grid FanDuel, Ariel Epstein, joining us here on the Diehards. And CT Betts, I love asking that question because I watch our boy Sammy P and I watch Drew Martin and all our guys that we have on. These are the guys, they're the best in the business. And these young and up-and-coming handicappers, these are all, they're it. And I watch their Twitter feeds, and it is absolutely ruthless
it's
out
insane.
There. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Like seriously, like if you're listening to somebody else wagering your own money and you lose, it's their fault?
Right.
Like, give me a break.
But when they fire you a couple winners off in a row,
I never hear
crickets.
Like,
you never hear like, great
I love you. You're the greatest thing in the world.
Nothing.
You know what? You're on point, dude. You're my homie.
Right.
Yeah, I said that. You're my homie.
Every loser. Every loser.
Sammy P gets absolutely crushed.
I know.
And I'm like, who are these D-bags? Just like, really, dude?
It's
like, really?
Like Ariel said, you just dish it right back. Yeah. Thick skin and, you know, don't let it bother you.
Let's take a break, our final break of hour number one. We'll come back and tell you about our friends at Rocket Mortgage, tell you about hour number two coming up next. He's CT Betts, Chris Thurston. My name's Anthony Pepe. We are the Diehards, and you're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hanging out with CT Betts. He's my friend. My friends are also from Rocket Mortgage. We are presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. All right, CT Betts, hour number two. We got a stacked show. We have Sports Memo Podcast. Our pal out in Las Vegas, Drew Martin's going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. We have our pal from BUSR.com. That's / the diehards, by the way.
Yep.
James Ross. We're going to talk some Kentucky Derby with him. And we got a new handicapper on the Progressive Guest Line, hour number two, Derek Giardina. We're just going to call him Action Jackson.
Action Jackson.
Which is kind of a cool name. He's a Massachusetts dude. How do you know him?
Local. We've known each other, used to work together years and years ago, became very good friends. Obviously, both gamble on sports. He's very intelligent, knows what he's doing, and he's doing well on Twitter.
Do you have any friends that knit?
No.
Because, I mean, it seems like all your friends are gamblers.
Yes.
I'm not painting a picture.
No, it's totally fine.
It is what it is. Yeah. Sorry, Val, but that's just who your son hangs out with.
Yeah.
He just hangs out with thugs.
Yeah, thugs, right. No, I mean, obviously, you surround yourself
yourself with degenerate gamblers and people that like to drink Willie's Super Brew.
Yeah. And a couple of mimitas every once in a while.
You know.
So, but no, excited to have Derek on for the first time.
None of your friends like knit, like jog or anything, go hiking, none of that stuff.
No. No. Right. Well, there's no fun with that, Pat.
I'm just checking.
Come on. NFL draft.
You don't have a boy named Jimmy that hikes?
Negative.
I was just checking. 1 hour down. One more hour to go. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Diehards. It's the Sports Map Radio Network.